In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Thus far, the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask him for his presence and his blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art merciful to unworthy sinners, thou who art gracious to hell-worthy sinners, thou who art that eternal, everlasting, faithful Jehovah, thou who art that covenant-keeping Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, it is in thy mercy, it is in thy long-suffering patience and goodness that we may gather together in this morning, in the time of grace, in thy house, to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And Lord, then in this past week, we have heard of life, but we also saw death. And Lord, we pray, sanctify the callings, sanctify thy word, but also sanctify the acts of thy providence. Lord, we can hear it. We can hear about death. We can see it. We can even stand at an open grave, but by nature, our hearts are hard, dead in sins and trespasses. We beg thee for the honor, for the glory of thy name, and for the salvation of sinners. May we then truly consider these things, that we would not only hear them, but that they may enter our minds and enlighten unto us that the wages of sin is death, but also, Lord, bless that gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Oh, we beg thee, thou who art that almighty, powerful, merciful, and gracious God, do above all that we can think and ask here in this congregation, in our families, in our hearts, throughout the denomination, but also throughout the world. May thy kingdom come. And Lord, thou hast not called angels to preach thy precious gospel. Thou hast called sinful men. Men unable, insufficient. But Lord, wilt thou give all thy servants throughout the world the unction of the Holy Spirit, and that thou would richly bless it, that thy kingdom may come among Jew and Gentile, but also here in Cortland, in this church, in our families, and in our hearts. Lord, we may give thee thanks for the birth of a healthy baby boy to a family. Remember the parents, Edwin and Brianna. Care for them. And Lord, we pray that this young little baby may have been born to be born again. And remember also that child who may return home from the hospital. Lord, may we acknowledge thee that thou hast spared life, and given health. But remember also all those who are mourning. Comfort them, strengthen them. Give us, Lord, that only comfort in life and death, as we heard in thy house a few Lord's days ago, that we belong to that triune, faithful, almighty God of heaven and earth. O, wilt thou awaken sinners and show them who they are without thee, lost, no hope, no peace, no true joy, but under thy wrath and worthy of eternal damnation. But may we beg thee also for all those who are recipients of thy free and sovereign grace, who have been born again. May they have come up to this morning into thy house prayerfully, but also may it be begging thee for a blessing under the means of grace. And Lord, may we be like David, who had a longing to be in thy house for one thing, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Give opening then, Lord, to preach of those beauties. And give also opening of eyes to see those beauties, not only to see our pollution, our sin, our wickedness, our filthy rags, but give faith, and that faith may be an exercise to listen and to hear, but also that he would be revealed to our never-dying souls, he who is the Prince of Peace, he who came to this world to seek and to save lost sinners. Lord, we beg thee then, give hearts that hunger and thirst for him, and give those blessings that thou alone can give in thy mercy and in thy grace by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give a mouth to preach of that precious Savior and to display his beauties through thy word, and that sinners may be given to see him, to behold him, their hearts may be touched, and that their hearts may go out unto him, and that they may have an unforgettable hour in thy house. Lord, pass us not by. We're completely unworthy because of all our sins and iniquities. May we beg thee then, look upon us, visit us, and give those blessings because of him who sits at thy right hand, in whom thou art well pleased. Lord, we have nothing in self to present unto thee, a holy and just Lord God of heaven and earth. We can only come before thee as beggars, as sinful beggars with no rights. But Lord, we pray then for thy honor, for thy glory, for thy own name's sake, come visit us and bless thy word richly, powerfully, by the power of the Holy Spirit to our hearts and souls. We pray and ask thee to take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances to preach and to listen. Cast out that evil one, Satan, who would like to hinder, who would like to pluck at the seed that is sown. May he be cast out, Lord, and that we may have an hour in thy house in this morning, in thy favor, with thy blessing, Lord. We pray and beg thee that thou would bless thy word throughout the entire world today on thy day. Help all thy servants, not only in our denomination, but also throughout the world, among Jew and Gentile. Help all church workers, elders in the vacant congregations, all evangelists and missionaries, Lord. We pray for thy covenant people. Lord, take away that veil from their eyes, and that they may see that the Messiah has come, that thy word testifies of him, that Jesus Christ, of whom we may read, is the Messiah. O Lord, work mightily among them. But we pray also, Lord, for the Bolivian people. Care for them. Richly bless thy word. Help Pastor Markle, the elders, the deacons, the church workers, and their families. And remember also him, Christian, who is preparing also to go to Bolivia. Care for him and his family. Help him in the preparations, Lord, and that he also may be used as an instrument in thy hand. We pray and ask thee to remember us also here, the consistory, elders, deacons. Give thy spirit, Lord. May we be like Stephen, full of the spirit, that we may be used as instruments in thy hand here in this flock, for the glory of thy name, for the regeneration of sinners, and for the edification of thy dear people. Lord, we pray and ask thee to remember us then in thy abundant mercy. Help, Lord, to preach. Give a mouth, give the words, give a heart, and give the unction of thy Holy Spirit. But give ears to hear, hearts to receive, eyes to see, minds to understand, Lord. There's no hope in us. By nature, we are dead in sins and trespasses, and we enjoy all the gifts of God without any need, any hunger, and thirst for the giver of all gifts. Lord, have mercy upon us, but also thy dear people. We are so sinful, so filled with all kinds of sins in our thoughts and words and deeds and our motives. Lord, look upon us through thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, teach us, Lord, of our unrighteousnesses, but display unto us through thy word his righteousness. Teach us of our guilt, and that thou art a holy God who can by no means clear the guilty, and that thy justice demands payment. Lord, wilt thou show us that only way through that precious blood? Oh, may sinners be given to see those riches, those beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they may have food for their never-dying soul, that they may be strengthened and upheld, guided and led by thee, by thy word, by thy spirit, by that good shepherd, that compassionate shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. May we thank thee that thou hast spared us in these past weeks, and that we may be together again. But, Lord, we need thy presence, and may we beg thee upon thy own promise. Thou hast said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in their midst. Lord, thou art faithful, thou art true, and in thy mercy fulfill also thy promise this morning, and may we experience the Lord was with us, and that we may have an unforgettable hour in thy house. We ask thee, Lord, nothing from our side, but may we ask it, may we beg it, because of that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask. Amen. Let us continue now with singing from Psalter 421, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art. Thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling, though passing through a vale of tears. Thy grace, O God, to him appears. With winged hope and power impelling, the wilderness by showers blessed is now a pilgrim's vale of rest. 421, stanzas 3, 4, and 5, and the collections for this morning is for the church and for the school. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Dear congregation, many in this past week stood at an open grave. A funeral is healthy for our soul. Solomon said it's better to go to the house of mourning. Why? Because there we see our end. The wages of sin is death, congregation. And John the Baptist pictures you and me as trees. And he pictures the axe ready at the trunk to cut us down. Are you ready for that day? Am I ready for that day that that axe will cut off our life? And where the tree falls, there it will lay. Are you ready? Are you prepared for the day of your death? Am I ready? How may you and I know if we're ready for the day of our death? What is the heart of those recipients of God's grace? What is the depth, that longing, that yearning that comes into their hearts? Yes, they learn about sin and that it grieves God, a good doing God. But there's a longing. There's a desire in their heart. There's a characteristic of God's grace in each and every one of God's children. It comes to one point. What is it? That man we buried had this hope, had this longing, had one desire, to behold the beauty of the Lord. In those hearts is a longing for the precious Lord Jesus Christ. They come to God's house, they want to see him. They want to open the word of God. They want to see him. They have no more hope in self. It's all become sin. It's all become flesh, all unfilthy rags. And they have one longing in the depth of their heart. They want to behold his beauties. Is that you? Is that how you came to God's house? David, a child of God, expresses this in Psalm 27, verse 4, which is our text for this morning. Psalm 27, verse 4, where we read, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." The theme for this morning is the desire of David. Three thoughts. First, a remarkable desire. David says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." Second thought, where does he desire to be? Read the text, "that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." And then the third thought, why David? What does it all come to? Why does he desire to be there, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple? And so, the desire of David, a remarkable desire. Where does he desire to be? And the third thought is, why does he desire to be there? With the help of the Lord, our first thought, a remarkable desire. David says, congregation, in Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." We all have desires. I do too. Many desires. But do we know of one desire, one thing, one essential desire? This desire of David is remarkable. Why? Why is it remarkable? Because it is the desire for the Lord. It's a desire for Jehovah. Why is this remarkable, congregation? Because man by nature has no desire for the Lord. Yes, we like his gifts. We want his blessings. But do we hunger for God? Do we have one desire for Jesus Christ? No man by nature desires God or Christ. Adam and Eve were created perfect, and they delighted, enjoyed living in the presence and having daily communion with God, but they sinned. And this sin, their sin, their rebellion against God had a radical effect on them, but on all their descendants, which includes you and me. You and I were born in sin, totally depraved. No hunger, no thirst for God. But David says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." By nature, our desires is for everything in this world, everything for self, and not for God, for Jehovah, or for Christ. Man by nature is lost and wicked without this desire. Listen to what the Lord says about you and me by nature in Proverbs 21, verse 10. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. Man by nature loves what he should hate, and he hates what he should love. We desire sinful things instead of God. We desire things for our flesh, for our own pleasure, instead of Jesus Christ. We desire things which please self or flesh, instead of things which are good for our soul. Man by nature seeks for the things of the world instead of seeking his Creator. And yet David says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." This is remarkable. It's remarkable. No man has this by nature. Let me give you an example from the Word of God. Children, congregation, we are all baptized. There's a man in the Word of God in the Old Testament that was as blessed as you are, as I am. He was circumcised. No, he wasn't baptized. He lived under the administration of the covenant of grace. He heard the Word of God as you heard. Who is he? Esau. Esau. Children, you remember he was out hunting, and he became home and he was so hungry, and his brother Jacob was making some soup or a pot of beans, and he wanted some of that food. And Esau was the firstborn. He was to have, because of the firstborn, the birthright, not just blessings on this earth, but a birthright was a great blessing. And what did Jacob then say? He said, "Sell me your birthright and I will give you some food." Certainly Esau wouldn't desire just a little bowl of soup or some beans instead of having that great blessing of the birthright. Certainly he wouldn't do that. Certainly he wouldn't be so foolish and so wicked. And yet he did. Esau, a man under the administration of the covenant of grace, a man who heard the word, the man who I'm certainly heard also of that promise of a coming Messiah, he desired some food to satisfy his flesh instead of desiring that birthright. Really, what's at the bottom of it? He desired some food to satisfy his hunger instead of desiring a blessing from the Lord. What wickedness. What foolishness. But that's a picture of you and me by nature. Yes, that's you and me. By nature, we despise the Lord. We don't want to say that. We're good reformed people, but that's our real heart, dead in sins and trespasses, no hunger, no love, no thirst for God. Man without God's grace, his heart is wicked, desperately wicked, and he has no desire for God. He has no desire for Jesus Christ. And what do they say? What did Job write in Job 21, verse 14? depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? The natural man, this is his heart. Is this still your heart? Very blessed, yet dead in sins and trespasses? You want another picture of us by nature? We're like that little animal, a leech. What's a leech? A leech is something that sucks and sucks and sucks blood, and it never, ever has enough. Never. It only wants more and more and more, and it gives nothing. By nature, we're like a little leech. We want this, and we want that. We want more and more, and we give nothing back. We want nothing of the Creator, of him, himself, of his person, and we give nothing back to him but sin. Man by nature does not have this remarkable desire that David has. David has with one desire, this one central desire. It is remarkable. How did David change? How did David come to express this? How did David come to desire the Lord? Why did he make such a remarkable desire unto the Almighty Jehovah? Notice in verse 1 of the psalm how David begins. How does he begin? David begins with Jehovah, because Jehovah began with him. The Lord worked in David's heart. When we don't know, we can only read it from the Word of God, because the Word of God testifies that he was a man after God's own heart. David received in his life renewing grace. His heart became alive. He began to hunger and thirst for God. The Holy Almighty God began with him, and so he begins this psalm with Jehovah. He begins in this psalm with expressing confidence and faith in that Almighty Jehovah who began in his life. How does he begin? Let's read verse 1 again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now notice that this is a remarkable request, a remarkable desire, because it's not made to any man. No, it's made to the Almighty, covenant-keeping, faithful Jehovah. One thing have I desired of the Lord, all capital letters. David knows. No man can help him. David knows that he cannot also help himself anymore. He has come to an end in any hope in anyone else, but also to any hope in himself. He needs the Almighty. He needs a mighty God. He needs an almighty Savior. Is that you? The only one who can help completely lost sinners is the Almighty God. He's the only one who can help you, not only for all the things of this life, but especially for all the needs of your soul. Congregation, we have desires. Do you know of this remarkable desire? To whom do you pray or ask with your desires? Where are you seeking comfort? Where are you seeking help? Or are you not seeking comfort? Are you not seeking help for your precious soul? It's a remarkable desire. Why? Because of the situation David is in. What is the situation that David is in the psalm? What do we read? Let's look in the psalm for a moment. Let's read a few verses which express it. Verse 2. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Verse 3. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. Verse 12, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witness is arisen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. David is in a horrible, dangerous situation. He is in very difficult circumstances, surrounded by enemies. His life is in danger. So you can see David there in your imagination standing with all these enemies, all these difficult circumstances, and he has one remarkable desire. David in this situation expresses confidence in his God. He expresses confidence in Jehovah. In this will I be confident. He's confident in Jehovah, who began in his life, that he is his light, he is his salvation. Of whom shall I fear? Now, out of such circumstances, out of the heart of David, out of his mouth, he speaks to Jehovah. He expresses a remarkable desire. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. David is a recipient of God's free and sovereign grace. And that grace that is planted in the heart, it flows back to God who gave it. David is spiritually alive. He's a living sinner, not only physically, but in his heart there's life. What he longs for, he seeks for. He must obtain it. He's not satisfied only that he has a hunger. He seeks for it. That will I seek after, because he needs to obtain it. He needs to have it. He needs to receive it. There's action in his life. That grace planted, out of it comes one desire, and he will seek for it. What do we read in verse 8 in Psalm 27? When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart, no, not my mind, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Is this your heart? Dead sinners do not have any hunger or thirst for God. They do not have any hunger and thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ. Dead sinners hear, seek ye my face. But they do not respond with the heart, thy face, Lord, I will seek, as David, a recipient of grace, responded. There's life and there's action. He has a desire and he needs to find, he needs to have this desire. He seeks for it. He's like the prodigal son, we could say, who came to himself. He was made alive. And he desired reconciliation with his father. He didn't go back in the first place to his father's house to receive all the blessings. No. He went back to his father's house because he wanted to see his father. I will arise and go to my father. He wants his father. This is an illustration of a sinner who's born again. He wants to be reconciled with God. One thing have I desired. What a remarkable desire in the heart of a sinner who was born dead, lost, wicked. David, with this remarkable desire, desires to be at a certain place. Where? And so we go to our second thought, where he desires to be. We read in verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. So what is David's desire? Where does he long to be? Does he want to be on his throne? Does he want to be delivered from all his enemies? Does he want to have a bigger empire, more blessings, more benefits for his own life? No. There's one profound desire in the depth of David's heart in these circumstances. David desires to be in a certain place. One place. We see this in this verse, that this one place is very special to him. It's very dear to his heart. It's a place he misses. It's a place he longs to go. What is it? Where does he long to be? In the tabernacle. By the tabernacle. Today we would say he would want to go to church. He wants to go to the worship service. He wants to be in that place where he may experience communion with God. My friend, during the week, do you long to come to God's house? Do you long? Is Sunday the best day of the week in your heart, in your life, that you may enter into God's house to listen to his word? Is your heart explained like David's and also the poet of Psalm 84 verse 10? For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. David says one thing. With these words, he's expressing his one desire to be in the house of God. This is more important than absolutely everything else in his life. Is this true for you? Be honest with your own heart. Do you come to church because you have to? Do you come to church because, well, otherwise people will see I'm not there? Yes, it is good to faithfully attend and continually do so. But why? Why? Why do you come to church? Are you like Mary? Open your Bible, please, to Luke 10, verse 39. Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, also desired, like David, to be close to the Lord. She wanted to be at a certain place. David had one place. But Mary also, a child of God, had one place that she wanted to be at. We read in verse 39, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And then we know Martha complained to the Lord that Mary wasn't helping. But now let us read Luke 10, verse 42, what the Lord Jesus says. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. My friend, are you like David? Are you like Mary, longing for closeness with the Lord? Or are you still, so to speak, like Esau? David says, that will I seek after. What is he seeking? He's seeking to be in the tabernacle. He desires, this desire in his heart is to be in the place where the Lord is especially present. He's separated. He can't go. And he longs to be at the place of public worship. When we miss something, we seek it, right, children? Older ones? When we miss something, we seek it. For example, if we're hungry and we need food, we seek food. Or if we're cold and we want to be warm, we seek to be warm. So we, so to speak, go sit by a fire or we have a blanket to warm us up. But in the heart of a child of God, they miss the Lord. And they seek him. They seek him with their heart. And they need to find him. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Can you confess with David one thing? I desire to be in the house of God. Can you confess with Mary, longing to be at the feet, so to speak, of the Lord Jesus Christ? My friend, what you are seeking in your life explains your heart. It explains your heart. What are you seeking? Did you wake up this morning with a longing to enter God's house, to behold his beauties? Or did you wake up and say, it's Sunday. Yeah, today I need to go to church again. Was there longing? Do you have a remarkable desire by God's grace? And the Lord commands us to seek him. Yes, he commands every single one to seek him. Amos 5 verse 4, seek ye me and ye shall live. And he gives a promise that those that seek him with their whole heart, they shall find him. Jeremiah 29, verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your hearts. And if we are not a seeker, we are guilty. It's our guilt. No, don't hide behind any doctrines. It's our guilt. But is there hope? Yes, there's hope. That's the wonder of God's free and sovereign grace. Isaiah saw it. He saw a people who never ever sought, who never ever had a hunger and a thirst for God, that they became seekers. And he wrote in Isaiah 65, verse 1, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. Is that true in your life also? And every one of God's people, it's true. Because by nature we don't. And only by grace we become seekers. Where does David desire to be? He desires to be in the tabernacle. Now let's read what he says again. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David is not saying he would just like to be there for a moment. No, he wants to dwell there. He's longing to be there. Oh, if he could only live there. If he could just be there every day of his life outside that tabernacle. David's desire is same as the poet in Psalm 84, verse 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. David longs to be close. He wants to be close to the Lord. He wants to have communion. He wants to receive his favor. But maybe you're thinking, well, that's the Old Testament time. That's the Old Testament time. Can we experience the presence of the Lord the same as David? Yes. And even more. Yes. How? What did the Lord Jesus say? In Matthew 18, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of thee. In the worship services, we may believe that the Lord is present with his Spirit. And so we come together on the Lord's Day in the worship services and the official worship. The Lord is present with his Spirit. What a blessing. Do you think about that before you come? Is your desire to come into God's house to be able to meet him there? To meet him there. To have communion with him. To hear his voice. But also to see him. Do you long with your heart to worship him? This is the life of a child of God. David had a desire to be at one place. It's a remarkable desire. It's a desire to be in the house. But David, why do you want to be there? May I ask you, congregation, why do you want to come to the worship service? May I ask you, little lambs, little sheep, why? Why do you come to God's house? What's in the bottom of your hearts? Sinner, why do you long to be in God's house? David has one desire. And so we go to our third thought. David has a desire to be in one place. And so, where does he desire? Why does he desire to be there? Why? David desires to be in the tabernacle. Born again sinners long to be in church, to hear the words. But what is their focal point? What comes to be their focal point in their heart, in their life? What would give them joy? What would give pleasure in the depths of their soul? The answer is in the last part of this verse. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David expresses his desire for closeness, communion with the Lord. But he wanted to be in that place, especially to behold the beauty of the Lord. These two phrases are parallels. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. They say the same thing. Behold and inquire is the same word with different significance. He wanted to be in the presence, to see, to behold. He didn't only want his mind enlightened. He wanted to see those beauties, those glories of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord. In Hebrew, to behold and to inquire, it means to be able to be there, to stare, to gaze admirably at something, to contemplate with pleasure on something that you can see through the preaching of the words, to look upon with delight. And what does beauty mean? To explain that word in Hebrew, it means qualities that give pleasure to your senses. So David wants to be in that tabernacle, outside the tabernacle. He wants to be there to be able to look, to stare, to admirably behold something that would fill his heart, to fill his pleasure, that would touch his senses, his heart, his joy, his whole being. He didn't want to look only at the furniture. He didn't only want to look at the different things he could see at that tabernacle, just to see the building, the tents. But he had a specific desire that would give his heart pleasure. It was for the Lord himself. Do you understand that? He wanted to see the Lord. He says to behold the beauty of Jehovah. Why, David? Why do you want to be there? Why do you want to behold the beauties of the Lord? Because David knows. He's been taught by the Holy Spirit that he's sin, that he's unrighteous, that he's corrupt, and that God can never look upon him in favor because of who he is. He longs to be there because he's been taught of who he is, that he is ugly in the sight of God with all his sin. And he longs to see the beauty. He sees his ugliness. Congregation, have you been taught your ugliness? That teaching of the ugliness leads to long to see someone else. Open your Bible to Psalm 38 and we'll read verses, some verses from this chapter. It's an expression of who David is when he sees in himself. Psalm 38, verse 3 through 7. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. Do you know this? The teaching of the Holy Spirit in our hearts of our ugliness leads us to death in self, and that is how that precious Savior, his beauties are longed for, sought for, and that is how he becomes beautiful. That is how that gives our whole being pleasure. What is the beauty of Jehovah? Who can describe the beauty of Jehovah? No man can, and yet his attributes, his being, his character is revealed to us through his word. Jehovah is beautiful in his power. He's beautiful in his mercy. He's beautiful in his faithfulness. He's beautiful in his justice. He's beautiful in his mercy, in his grace. He's beautiful in his whole being, in his whole, all his attributes. Oh, to behold through the word of God, to see something of him, that gives pleasure in the soul. But David, how can you see Jehovah? How can you express, I long to see him, that holy, infinite being, God is a spirit? How can you see him, David? David, don't you remember what Moses said? I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And what did the Lord answer to Moses? For thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. How could David see Jehovah? How can a sinner see God, who's a spirit? How can a sinner see those beauties? It's through him. It's through his Son. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ alone, because he is the express image of God. And remember, congregation, when Philip said, "Show us the Father," when he said that to the Lord Jesus Christ, what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? In John 14, verse 9, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Have you learned that you cannot see God and live because of who you are? That God is a consuming fire, and that without Jesus Christ, you will be completely consumed because of your sin? And David's desire to behold the beauty of the Lord. How could David see the beauty of Jehovah at the tabernacle? What could he see that would touch his very depth of his being, that would give him pleasure in his heart? What enabled him at that tabernacle to see the beauty of Jehovah? Congregation, my dear friends, in our imagination, let us go with David and stand outside that tabernacle. Let us do that. But let us first sing. And may it be with prayer. Standing in Psalter 290, stanzas 4, Psalter 71, Psalter 71, 1, 2, and 3. Jehovah is my light and my salvation near. What shall my soul affright or cause my heart to fear? 71, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
David desired to be at the tabernacle. He desired to be there to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. May we then together, in our imagination, stand beside David this morning, outside the tabernacle. And as we may hear of what David may see of those beauties, may the Holy Spirit give hearts that hunger and thirst for him. Give new hearts, but also open eyes, not only to see who we are, but to see the beauty of Jehovah. And may he give faith, and faith that is an exercise to look outside of self, to look upon the beauty of the Jehovah. David is a king. He's not a priest. He cannot go into that tabernacle because then he would die. But David could come and he could stand outside of the tabernacle, in the court of the tabernacle. David could be there. He could behold the beauties of the Lord. What could he see? Well, he could see that tabernacle. He could see that holy place and the holies of holies together in that tabernacle. That tabernacle proclaimed the majesty, the glory, the holiness of God and the sinfulness of every single person. That tabernacle was a silent preaching to all the Jews, but also to us today. David could be there to see something, a little illustration of the beauty of the holiness of God. God, Jehovah, dwelt in the holies of holies. He could be outside that tabernacle, knowing that, viewing that tabernacle, and he could have a little small impression of the holiness of God. David could stand in that courtyard and he could see the beauties of the holiness of God. May I ask you, have you ever seen something of the beauty of the holiness of God? Or do you say, that's not beautiful to me at all? It becomes beautiful. The holiness, the purity, the majestic, the gloriness of God. We read in Exodus 15, verse 11, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? He's beautiful in his holiness, in his purity, in his majesticness, in his infinite, glorious being. This caused David, and it causes every sinner who's taught by the holiness, about the holiness of God, of how sinful they are, but also it leads them to look to a different place. It leads them to a place where they may see hope, hope for wretched sinners. What place was that for David? What could he see through the tabernacle, the holiness, and through it all? Yes. But he also could see in that court the altar of burnt offering. What was the beauty that David could see? Why did he long to be there, to look, to see those things which was a preaching of the gospel? Because he saw through that altar not only the justice of God, but also the mercy and grace of God. What could he see there? He could see a sinful Jew coming with a lamb. He could see a sinful Jew who was worthy to be put to death because of his sin. He could see him coming there with a lamb. David, in that court, he could see there is a lamb. Congregation, has the lamb become beautiful to you, that there is a lamb? May I say it this way? Has Christmas become precious? There's hope. There's a lamb. There's a substitute. I'm a sinner and I need a lamb. I need one who took my place. David longed to be there just to see there is a lamb. What did John the Baptist say? He pointed to Jesus Christ and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Have you ever seen the Lamb? Do you want to see the Lamb? Do you long? Is there beauty in the Lamb? The beauty of the Lamb? Does it touch your heart? Does it give pleasure in the very depth of your being? Oh, if I could just sit in church and hear of the Lamb, to see him by the eyes of faith, that would be a good day. Is that your heart? David longed to see the beauty of the Lamb. But he saw a lamb. What kind of a lamb did he see? Did that lamb have only one eye? Did he have a broken leg? No, that lamb was pure. It had to be pure. The Lamb is pure. And transgressors, those who have broke the commandments of God, they need a lamb. They need a mediator. They need one who's pure, infinitely pure, because they're all sin. May I ask you, has the Lamb, the pure Lamb of God who knew no sin, who had no sin, has he become necessary? Has he become suitable? But has he become precious? Has he become beautiful to your soul? David needed a mediator. He longed to have communion with that holy, almighty Jehovah. And he saw the beauty of a lamb, a way to God. One who was pure, infinitely pure. My friend, are you a sinner? Have you been born again? Do you know of a remarkable desire and you need a lamb? You long to have communion, and have you seen the beauty? The beauty of the only Savior, Jesus Christ, as the Lamb, as a pure lamb. But then he saw something. He saw that Jew that was a sinner. He would put his hands on that lamb and he would confess his sin. It was symbolic that his sin was now put on that lamb. The lamb is pure. There is a lamb and he's pure. But who put on the Lamb of God all the sins of all his people, of all his lambs, of all his sheep? God the Father laid on him, on that pure lamb, all the sins of all his people. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord did. But then what did he see, David? Did the priest take his knife out and did he slay that sinner? Yes, that sinner should have died because of his sin. And I ask you, are you worthy of death because of your sin? But David could see that sinner didn't die. That sinner could live because that knife came out and that knife put to death the lamb. The priest cut his throat and that lamb died. That sinner should have died, but he could live because the lamb died. Are you worthy of death because of your sin? And have you seen not only a lamb, not only a pure lamb, but a lamb that was put to death by God the Father? Yes, he put his own son to death for those who are worthy to be eternally sent away to eternal death. He died, the Lamb of God. What a beautiful lamb. What a glorious lamb who gave his life, who gave everything, so that sinners worthy of eternal death and wrath could live forever in communion with God. Is that beautiful to you? Is that beautiful to your soul? Do you want to sit and just look and gaze and gaze, to admirably look upon the Lamb, a pure Lamb, but also a slain Lamb? But David could see more. What he could see blood that came from that Lamb. That love, that blood was so beautiful to him. He wanted to be in that one place. He wanted to behold the beauty of the Lord. He wanted to not only see a lamb, a pure lamb, but he also wanted to see a lamb that was dead, that died, that gave his life. But he also longed to see the blood. That blood is precious. Has it become precious? Has it become beautiful for your soul? That man we buried, he testified. Reverend Vogler, he testified, the Lord came over and spoke to him. And the blood of Christ, Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. What a blessing. Wretched sinner itself, but to behold the blood, that precious blood, has that blood become beautiful for your own soul? Have you sat, so to speak, in God's house in the preaching, and you saw by the eye of faith that lamb, that bloody lamb? Or have you sat at the Lord's Supper, and through that broken body and that poured out wine, have you seen the blood? Has it become beautiful? Do you want to see it again, or do you want to see it for the first time? They see it by the power of the Holy Spirit that reveals. He gives eyes to see, faith to behold. Has that lamb become beautiful? And then what did David see? He saw that lamb being put on the altar, and a fire lit, and the lamb was consumed. But now the lamb, there's no more altars, but there was a cross. A cross. The Lord Jesus was nailed to the cross. He was, so to speak, consumed by the fire, the wrath of God the Father. He was consumed. Why? So that God's justice could be satisfied. Because by God's justice being satisfied, he can embrace wretched sinners as sons and in daughters. What beauties. And congregation, there's so much more. These are just a few words, but we need to end. May I ask you, how is it in your heart? What is your heart? In the bottom of your heart, is there a longing? Oh, 'tis to behold the beauties of the Lord. If you have that desire, that's a work of God's grace. And the work that he has begun, he will never, ever forsake that work. And he will bring you home. And this desire for David became a reality. And for all those who long to behold his beauty now in this life, he will come and he will take them home into the eternal bliss. And they will forever behold his beauty. No more sin to interrupt. No more unbelief. No more sin that will hide his face, but they will see him. They will gaze admirably forever upon the Prince of Peace, upon that Lamb. That's heaven. And there's little taste here, but the glorious, the fullness, the unspeakable fullness is coming. This life is not our home. This life is not our place to live. It's coming, Church of God. And it's coming that you will forever behold him. Behold him and see him face to face. Because now we see a little glimpse. We see a little piece through a glass darkly. But then you will see him face to face. What a blessed future. Do you hear it, congregation? What a blessed future. But you, who do not have this remarkable desire, you who will continue in this way and not repent and not flee to this only precious Lamb of God, you will forever be cast out and you will not see the beauties of him. But Church of God, it's coming. It's coming. And David ended the psalm with instruction for us also. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth. O Lord, we have tried to say a few words of thy beauties. But what sinful man can display the beauties of thee, the beauties of the Lamb? Lord, give that we may go homes, open thy word with the prayer, O that I may see the beauty of the Lord. Reveal him unto us in thy beauties, Lord. Work mightily by thy Holy Spirit. Teach dead sinners of the wretchedness of what they're missing, but also what there is in thy abundant mercy and grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Care for thy children, Lord, the lambs and the sheep. Reveal thyself unto us, Lord, and that we may see thee, that our hearts may be captured by thy grace, and again our hearts may be inflamed with the beauties, the glories of thee, of the Lamb of God, that we may live for thy honor, for thy glory. Lord, help then also the elders in the teaching of catechism. Make it a blessing for our children. Bring us again here tonight, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close in singing now from Psalter 420, stanzas 1 and 2. God shall arise and by his might put all his enemies to flight. With shame and consternation, his haters, haughty though they be, shall at his august presence flee in utter desolation. And what follows, 420, 1 and 2. Congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.